is a remastered version of Triples and Ecstasy, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Go where no one has gone before. Star Trek Online.
And we are live at episode 108 of Tribbles in Ecstasy. We are broadcasting live from sunny, awesome, pretty cool, the brand new Earth space dock on the Tribble server, which is obviously the test server. Things we're gonna probably do a walk around here in a little bit, let people know what's going on, and hopefully show off some of the new pretty that's going on. Clearly, once we show it to you, it's gonna be a work in progress, obviously, but we want to just make sure that you see what ESD plans to look like, so you can comment on the forums, because to be honest, this is the most beautiful set piece I have seen. This is the most beautiful set piece I've seen in a while on Tribbles. I don't know if y'all agree with me.
I think it looks fantastic.
Right.
Yeah, it looks good.
All right. So we got the usual crew here with us tonight, plus a couple other people. And I'm choking on a Girl Scout cookie here. We've got Alistair with us as a special guest. How you doing, sir?
That better be a thin mint.
It is a thin mint. It is.
Good man.
Skipper, how you doing, sir?
I am well, sir.
Woody, what's up?
Okay, everyone. I'm doing well.
And Midnight Shadow.
Hello.
Outstanding. And then, of course, we don't have Twilight Sparkle with us here tonight, but we do have Music Player and Recording Bot, so yay! So, we've got, I'll be honest, not a lot of reportable news going on, but we've got some really amazing, but, like, there's been a lot of stuff, cool stuff happen. So, first off, we'll bounce through this. First off, in an attempt to get you to buy the Arc Kool-Aid, they're giving away legacy packs. If you sign into, if you sign up through ARC, there's a contest giveaway that's going on there. Y'all, I mean, everybody kind of knows our thoughts on ARC. So is there anybody actually going through ARC to get these things here on the show, or?
Yeah, I've been doing it on my secondary laptop because that runs through ARC. So I've been signing in. Plus I've got ARC on my main computer as well.
Okay. Yeah, like I've, I got the con
I've
out
also
too,
got but... ARC. But I'll be honest, I use ARC, I log in to get the special rewards, and then I just launch the game through Steam after that.
Yeah, see, I mean, like, I only, I don't know, I think eventually I'll end up kind of biting the bullet and just getting onto the ARC bandwagon. So, but...
I'm holding out.
I'm like a hardcore Steam, yeah, see, that's my thing, is I'm a hardcore Steam guy.
I'm just holding. I'm holding off until they pretty much say, if you want to play Stow, you shut up and do what you're told and use ARC. So I might until then, but every time they have a little freebies and stuff like that to log into ARC, I'm just installing ARC, logging in through ARC, getting the gear, logging out through ARC, closing down ARC, uninstalling ARC. So,
right. So there's that. Also, things that got noticed is that, of course, the red shirt server is back showing up in the launcher, and they have updated Tribble. A couple of new things they're working on. There's an Undine PvE queue. They're revamping the kits, changing up some video settings, and the big thing, and we're going to talk about this, and we're going to maybe do a walk around, is the revamp of Earth Space Dock. And we're talking like console, like the like graphic changes on consoles, just the amazing layout that's changed. I was joking right before we went live that it really reminds me of what's it called, the Presidium or something, on board the Sentinel in Mass Effect, or the whatever it's called, the big thing.
The Citadel.
The Citadel.
Can anyone remember how many Earth space docks we've had so far? Is this four or five?
Third.
There have been three Earth space docks. We have destroyed all of them. We are becoming excessively good at it.
This actually goes back to a discussion that was had with D'Angelo on... it's Stoked, right? It was on Stoked?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, where they asked him what were things that he really wanted to do, and with this, you know, coming back to being kind of general in charge of all STO, and the first thing he said was, "I want to revamp ESD because it's the look is kind of dated and it's hard to navigate for especially for newer players." And once we walk around, and if Midnight can do some roundabout shots whenever we're moving around, you're going to really see a major change and some really beautiful architecture. So, provided, of course, the guys up on the rafters don't shoot down at the ground at us, because they've been doing that, climbing up in the rafters and shooting. But we're going to go into the dev blog. There's only been one dev blog since last week. And that has been about the Mirror Invasion event, which y'all know I get really upset about grindy missions, and I don't like the grind. And that being said, this runs from March 12th until April 3rd, and I am going to do this mission like twice a day for the entire run that it happens, because... This is the kind of mission that I could do repeatedly, and I'll change up ships even to do, because the mission is really simple. And correct me if I'm wrong, if y'all feel differently about this, but it sort of feels like an intermediate to advanced Starbase defense mission. I mean, would that be fair?
Yeah.
Yes.
And of course, the main difference is that you've actually got stuff which is dependent on what ships you have.
And that's exactly where I was going. because basically it breaks down to this. Mirror ships are incurring, and they're attacking this starbase, and you have to protect the starbase. So in order to do that, there's two things you do. First off, there's three things you do. First off, you keep ships from attacking the starbase, which is clearly an escort job, clearly a combat role. Then there are rifts, subspace rifts, that you have to clear. And those are... anybody can close them. They're just your standard, like, click-to-close kind of deal. But it specifically states in the mission log that science ships do it faster. Not science officers. Science vessels do it faster. Then you go a little bit further, and in order to bring the defenses online, you have to power up these satellites, or transfer power from these satellites to the starbase. In order to do that, it's one of these little click to transfer power things, but they specifically state that cruisers are better suited for it. So what you have is really, in order to do this fast, you send all your cruisers out to go and you know, divert the power over while your escorts are clearing shop and your science vessels are doing their best to keep the rifts closed. Because the thing is, the rifts are going to happen at progressively more, you know, greater and greater frequency, and the ships that are come out are going to be progressively tougher and tougher to fight. And then you move into the second part of the scenario, which I don't want to ruin too much, but definitely it's worth playing. It's worth definitely playing for the 14 times necessary to get the big awesome boost of stuff, because if you complete this event rep, you'll get 50,000 dilithium, 500 marks, a 250 mark pack of your choice, and then you'll get the very rare Doth Mirror Hakeev, and I forget what traits he has. Definitely. Also, after the 14 are done, you can transition each. Transporter can then be traded in for 50 marks, 2,000 dilithium, and a 35 mark pack. Now, I've already had a lot of people suggest me to just keep these packs saved until mark weekends. But I mean, definitely this mission stands on the edge of being a really, really cool, really, really cool gig. And it really encourages multiple ship types being played, not just your big classic heavy hitters, you know?
Yeah. I've really enjoyed it. It's very good as well, especially now we've got the switch ship functionality and the different loadouts. It's a good way to sort of, if you're sort of doing it with different people that you're just teaming up with sort of in your fleet, just like, right, who's got a science ship ready, you just switch them out so you can make sure you've got someone with each class and you just sort of get going. And one of the things I found with the mission is that if you team up in two teams of two to tackle sort of different areas, so like the rifts and doing the satellites, and then you've got one person floating in between, you can get it done quite quickly as well.
Hey, since pretty much everybody here has played this, I mean, do y'all have any other thing to contribute on this?
The mirror event?
Isn't it? Yeah. The Galaxy X?
Wow.
What about
Isn't the Odyssey?
Oh, yeah. This is... And Adam doesn't listen to this show, but I'm gonna... This is another battle cry. Adam and I are gonna have to, like, box or something, because my first time playing this mission, I got tarred by a Mirror Odyssey. And I know that it's Perfect World, and I know that it's Star Trek Online, but... I'm blaming Adam Isles for my death there, or Isle for my death there. So it's on, Mr. Isle. I don't know. We're gonna figure out a way for me to appropriately challenge you in a game that you stand no chance of beating me in. Like, I'm a big fan of this mirror event, and the thing is, like, everybody knows this. You know, I am definitely not the guy that's all behind grindy missions. I hate the grind, despise it. But But yeah, just the multiple aspects, and like certain ships do jobs better, so it encourages you to bring them. Like, I really dig that about this mission. So definitely something to check out. Now, I noticed earlier, Midnight, that you were walking around just this bottom part of ESD. You want to go on a longer walkabout?
Definitely, because I haven't had a chance to yet.
All right, well, let's do that. Don't worry, Woody, we're not going on that kind of walkabout. We'll be responsible.
Yeah. That's fine, I'll come and join you, actually.
All right, so...
But just my little comment with the new event is, so like, yeah. I'm starting to really notice that they've starting to be a bit more consistent of actually giving us content.
I like that.
Because it's this came about, you know, only like 2 weeks after the anniversary was over. So at least they. Realizing that, you know, they need to keep some sort of consistency for us to
yep.
be involved. So yeah, it's good for I certainly quite like it anyway.
Actually, Midnight, come down here. This is, these terminals are, I mean, it's cosmetic, I understand, but like if you stay away from these terminals against the wall or against the window, you'll see, like, as you walk up to them, they actually light up. Now, obviously, it's the same picture every time, and I'm hoping that these are like mail access, that these become like mail access or something. But I could definitely see these turning into something cool, and it's a nice, a functional gig. Now, this is like Ops CIC kind of area. As you go up these stairs, and there's this little hologram of Space Dock right here in this little open atrium thing. That's not even an atrium. But as you go up these stairs, you'll see Admiral Quinn's office, and it's a newly redesigned Admiral Quinn's office, and there's like ships in the corner and Quinn sitting at his desk. Obviously, you've got Ambassador Sugihara over there in the corner. So, and just this big, it's a nice big open air feel to this ship. I'd love to see some action outside this window. I don't know about y'all, but just see the action happening on outside of this big window.
Well, they did say that a lot of the NPCs haven't been put in at this stage because it was only released a couple of hours ago. So hopefully we can actually get something happening outside.
Yep. And then, of course, there's a couple of things that I saw just kind of moving around. I want to make sure people see. Actually, Midnight, back up and see. Show that. Look at that big Fed logo above Quinn's office.
Yep. Come over here too, guys. Oh, that's the this console there says Interact, but I found that it's the one that actually gives you the EV suit.
Oh, so this is going to be like the anniversary console. Or not the anniversary console, but the fireworks and suits and stuff.
Well, it gave me the EV suit. It didn't give me anything else, so.
Nice. But, so now we're going to go up and out into the atrium, I think, where you'll see, the good thing is this has all become one, I'll say one floor. I haven't found a turbo lift yet, but, what you'll see as soon as you step out and turn around, there's a waterfall with the Fed logo that's really kind of cool. And the waterfall actually runs under a glass ramp and out into, eventually when you come down low enough, into these little hydroponic little... ferns. So yeah, Midnight, whenever you're done with that, just come down, just keep walking right down, make sure you catch that glass in the middle so they can see the waterfall. Like, there's actually like
I just zoomed in,
three-tiered waterfall. It's pretty epic. And I know, like, you didn't tune into a podcast. You're probably, you know, if you're listening to us on iTunes or Stitcher, you're probably sitting here going, there's an awful lot of, hey, look at that, hey, look at that, hey, look at that. The answer is, turn this on while you have downloaded the Tribble server onto your launcher and come see what we're seeing kind of deal.
And does anybody know if they've implemented Tribble as a gold-only thing again?
I don't know. Hey, Midnight, look around. Whenever you come down off that ramp at first, you'll see these little trees and bushes and stuff. The cool thing is that waterfall is actually feeding those plants. So it's like really intelligent design kind of stuff. And then down here is the ship selector and ship purchase, ship requisition people. Their hair is all messed up.
Repairs over there, yeah.
Yep, repairs, consoles.
Consoles on the other side.
Yep. But the entire, actually, there's two other, like the big wings, like out here, the new Club 47 is over here. Or I think this is going to become the new Club 47, which if it is...
In here, yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, there's no sign at the moment.
Yeah, but...
music.
The reason that there's no sign, no music, but let me show you why I think this is going to be the new Club 47. Because if you keep walking up here... if you keep coming up the ramp, the DJ is up here.
Yeah, you got a DJ up here in the barman.
And the awesome of this is that this brings us to the new transporter area, which, honestly, I think the old transporter area was ugly. Like, really. This new transporter pad, I mean, it's a big round transporter pad with bays on the back, but a big glass front that just kind of opens up. It kind of opens it up, makes it feel more airy, I guess.
A nice little welcome to Earth Space Dock.
Right, this old star, this old starbase. And then there's the other side, which I'm running over to now, which is home to all of our shops and other stuff. The tailor is amazing. The new tailor shop. This is the new tailor, complete with little mannequins in the window. That's actually a window.
Hey, come in. Don't come in where the tailor is, guys.
Don't run into the glass, Midnight.
But, I was just getting a view of the mannequins.
Oh, okay.
Hey, come in through this way. And you got change rooms, so if you walk in here, you'll get a little button that says change my uniform.
That's so cool. Sorry. They got changing rooms. This is ridiculous.
No curtains.
The Klingons are just going to be like, just do it yourself, whatever. I don't care. And then here is requisitions and, or the requisition guys. And then off.
Doesn't exactly work terribly well at the moment, the costume thing. So I walk in, got the window go up, changed my uniform, and got out and didn't do anything.
Now, two things here. First off, this is the commodities broker area. But also, if you look out the window, you see the worker bee, the Type 8 shuttle, and the Yosemite, and the runabout, and the, I think that's the Yosemite runabout, the Yosemite class runabout too. So, like, very, very cool. And that is, I mean, and the good thing is, first off, everything is on one platform, one level. There's tons of stuff. And, oh yeah, yeah.
So far, no holodeck either. We've had holodecks around, which do, well, nothing.
Right. One of these days they should let that roll. Like, I think you should do replay missions from the holodeck. I think that would be, instead of flying around all over the place. I'm over here next to the giant symbol seal on the bottom, on the floor, which is pretty cool. And then the last place to really go into is the Exchange, home of the currently hovering floating consoles.
That's because the Exchange is closed.
Oh yeah, yeah, and Red Blockyman. Well, you can still get the link. You can still get the link, but
if it's standing in a certain spot, like where I am now, you can still get the link.
But the thing is, this looks like where the Exchange is going to be, where banking is going to be, and you still get the you still get the look. But from here, you can actually see the force fields on either side of the shuttle bay. So that's pretty cool. And there's 10-foot by 10-foot white boxes there at your feet, which is the designer, obviously, designer code. But no, like, this is the new Earth space dock, and to be absolutely honest, I am so glad it is not the giant space donut.
It looks so good.
Right? Like, I'm really a big fan of this, and I also like the fact that Like right here is like the computer core, and it's rounded because like this is right near the central axis, whereas the other stuff's a little more spread out and open because it's more toward the edge, so to speak. I just really like the layout. It's open. It's Federation-y almost. You know, I mean, I guess if that's a word, it's Federation-y. But
yeah, it's.
It looks like.
Ran around earlier is it this is it it's it doesn't go into like a separate floor to go into select starships and stuff like that.
Oh,
you do lifts. Have yeah you got turbo lifts, but it only goes down to like the old the current EST we're using at the moment. It goes down to that lower level in that hallway.
Oh, okay. That hallway that nobody ever really uses.
Yeah, exactly.
The layout reminds me of how the star bases are described in a lot of the Star Trek novels, especially in the new Full series. It describes the new Deep Space Nine, the way it's all open plan and everything else. It just reminds me of that sort of layout.
And then, if we turn our camera up, you'll see periodically phasers and other beams being fired, because due to the open plan nature of this starbase, there's actually you can climb up the exterior wall pylons and jump onto said pylons, which I just fell off.
They'll probably be stopping that soon.
I'm not too worried about it. Now, what I am worried about is what's going on right here, where there's like a dance party.
Someone's made a note, probably bound to be making a note of what we're doing here.
Oh, like, no.
I'm up a pylon now.
I am a very big fan. Just don't snipe me, bro. Anyway, I'm a very big fan of, like, I invite the devs to look at what we're doing and kind of see everything that's going on, because I mean this is in game of us going, okay, that's this and this is that kind of deal. So and speaking of, because I love you guys, I'm gonna let you in on a secret. We are going to have, and this is a going to have, not a we'd like to have, but this is a we're going to have, we are going to have a very special presentation for y'all next week. This Tuesday, the cast of Tribbles and the crew of the USS Tribble, we will be sitting down with Captain Smirk, Trevor, the community manager, and we're going to be asking him some questions and see if we can weasel out some details and see where we're going. Because, see, earlier we mentioned the... Stoked interview with D'Angelo, and one of the things that was also mentioned there was that clearly, as you probably know by having played through Step Between Stars, is that Step Between Stars is a two-parter that is supposed to lead into the actions of season 9. Well, when Stoke inquired about that, the timetable that was given by Steven D'Angelo was late March, early April for the conclusion of Step Between Stars. And if that's the case, then that would set that at pretty much here in the next couple of weeks. So what we want to do is we're going to try and corner him. And I say corner, that's a bad word. It's a bad word, but we're going to, because especially since Federation doesn't have corners, we have gracefully curving arcs. But we're going to see if we can't get a little bit of a teaser as to when that might happen. So also, we'll see if we can get a little bit, get a bit of an idea about the direction of the timetable coming, you know, from here on in regards to Season 9, and see if we can maybe get some more information in detail. This is the sad part, because we really don't have a lot. I know that for a brief moment, William Shatner quit Twitter and then came back to Twitter. So meh.
Yeah, it was really weird. I didn't get a chance to look at any reasons why. He was sort of very vague when he said he was leaving, and then sort of several hours later, biggest mistake I've probably made, I'm back.
this is what happens when stars rage quit. So it's good to know. Well, I mean, the thing is, I wouldn't say that it's a bad thing that he quit and came back, because, I mean, according to that commercial series from a while back, you know, Will Shatner does play WoW, so therefore he is accustomed to rage quitting. Speaking of, I know this is normally our STO podcast, but I made an observation, and I've made it a lot this weekend, or today. So I'm going to let you all know that as soon as we let you go, as soon as Tribbles and Ecstasy is done with you for the week, if you are watching this live, if you're listening to us on recording, I'm really sorry. Half of this will already be done or over by the time you listen to us. But if you're listening to us live, there's so much going on this weekend in gaming. It's a great time to be a nerd. Obviously, we're doing the Mirror event. We're doing wander around ESD. Was it World of Warcraft just released its new just opened pre-orders on its new expansion? ESO is doing a beta this weekend. There's another game that's in beta that's doing something this weekend. Defiance is doing something this weekend. Old Republic is doing something this weekend. Secret World is doing something this weekend. Like, if you haven't caught the hint, if you've played an MMO or you're playing an MMO, you need to check your MMO this weekend to see what the heck is going on, because like everybody and their brother is doing something this weekend. So definitely, I guess I have to call people around town to see if they're doing anything this weekend, just to make sure that I'm not like forgetting real life, because otherwise I'm going to be in MMOs all weekend, because as soon as I'm done here, I'm going to probably crank out a Crystalline Entity and another Mirror event, and then I'm going to go jump in Secret World for a while to do some Oreo grinding, and then come back tomorrow to STO. So here's a good question. What does y'all's gaming calendars look like for this weekend?
When I'm not working, I will be playing Stove. About the only game that I tend to play.
Yeah, I'm just stick with Stove myself. But since it's already like almost 11 a.m. Saturday morning, it's like I'd spend the rest of the day just doing playing Stove on my Klingon. But Sundays I need to just take a day off from the computer and, you know, just go out and do something else.
Skipper, what's up for you this weekend?
Unfortunately, I have to work my job.
Oh, real life. You know, definitely, as I said, definitely if you have the opportunity this weekend to get into your game (S) of choice, then definitely do that. And then, of course, come back for Friday, where we will talk more about awesome stuff that's going on, and we'll have some awesome Q&A from Trevor that we were able to get earlier in the middle of this coming week, so it'll all be awesome. We have one thing really left, and that is our Foundry Spotlight. And this is, I'm going to let Woody do that, but the important thing to remember is that my recommendation is for you, and by you I mean everybody, to do this. Go back through our previous episodes, find the Foundry Mission episodes, and get ready. Because starting the 20th and going all the way to the 24th, which is next week, next weekend is going to be the Foundry Weekend, which is, I forget all the awesome that Foundry Weekends do. What is it? Is it double the lithium, or is it marks?
Yeah, you get bonus marks of your choice box.
Okay, so my recommendation is this. From the 20th till the 24th, so it starts in like 5 days and 16 hours, whatever. You're going to get a choice of marks, you're going to get your dilithium, and you'll be able to play some really awesome missions, like the one that Woody's going to talk about right now.
Okay, sorry for the delay. Yeah, this mission is called Befallen by Nezarus. I believe that's how it's pronounced. It's a Klingon mission. It is a short mission. First time's author's mission. The basic storyline is you got sent off to hunt down a certain ship and its crew. Basically, it was a bit of a rush job to get this done. Sorry about that. Yeah, didn't get into it. Be a big death like I should have. It's sort of like a classic Klingon of go in and to, it's almost like if someone's, you chase someone that's got a bounty and you get the person but you kill everyone else who's on the ship as well. It's a very strange one because it's you're after like a Federation like refugee colony. They're just trying to find a planet to call home, and you go in and you have people on there saying, you know, please don't kill us. We've got children on this ship and stuff like that, and you end up going killing off, and you end up coming across a captain who says, "You heartless person, you've been killing women and children. How could you?" Type of thing as you go kill off some more Federation NPCs. Then you go back in the space with someone who says, "You killed my parents and my brother and a couple other relatives," and end up fighting him. But he seems to be vowed to have revenge on his mind at the, there's the last bit of dialogue. So I do see the story behind what he's doing. It's probably just way it's presented is just probably just need a little bit of work on it. Like, it would have been good if it was more like doing this to a Klingon rival house more than a human refugees trying to find a home type of thing. It's very heavy on the pew, you know, and especially on the ground combat. You do have to fight through quite a lot of things there, but like I said, you know, the story seems to be alright. It's just the way it's portrayed. Of course, you know, people who start out in the Foundry, you know, have ideas. Give it a try. You know, probably leave something encouraging when you review it, just to, you know, let him know that, you know, maybe try this instead of that or something like that. You know, the dilithium, you don't get very much in the way of dilithium from it either, so it's you know, good when you get the 480 dilithium. And but that's it. It's Befallen by Nezarus. It's a KDF mission,
so definitely kind of, is it a quick turnaround kind of deal, or You said it's a lot of pew pew.
Yeah, it's a lot of pew pew. I end up dying like twice in it, so it is. Yeah, it can be a little bit heavy having about probably about 15 NPCs trying to kill you and your away team. So it can be a little bit on the difficult side, unless you've got reasonable good amount of DPS on the ground. Yeah, you might find a little bit of troubling with it.
What do you think the play time would be for that?
So it's not very long at all. It probably only 20 minutes. It's only like 3 maps. So I'm actually a bit cautious with that particular mission. Actually, even though it does qualify for rewards, I get the feeling that it might be intact because I ended up finding out like last week it was all good, but since I logged in this morning to check if see if anyone's playing my missions, I ended up finding out one of my missions has actually been red tagged or discontinued from receiving rewards. That was my first mission, Collective Voice of Freedom, and I based that story around on DS9 picked up a distress signal, but it's not through an usual Starfleet Federation signaling. So, but you go get sent to investigate anyway. Just in case it is, for real, and you end up finding out that it was a bunch of liberated from the Borg colony being liberated from a sphere crashing, and the survivors have done something to send out a distress signal to hopefully get rescued, and you rescue them, but also the Borg also picks up the signal as well, so you end up having to have a bit of a large ground battle to try and keep the liberated Borg liberated basically. So and some reason or another that mission's been red tagged, so that's one question I'm going to be asking Captain Smirk next week about that sort of thing. So
are you talking about what the red flag procedures are, or just why your mission was red flagged?
For a bit of both and so like that. Probably if I ask the question of what's the procedures, I might get understanding of why my mission has actually been disqualified. So yeah, because they have been very heavy. I know they've been very heavy-handed. Like I've mentioned before in past episodes, they have started to like police it a lot more with these grinder-style missions. But I thought my Collective Voice of Freedom mission wasn't grindy, so I definitely intended not to be. So
yeah, what we'll do is there's a couple things that got mentioned to me. It got mentioned to me that we kind of glossed over a couple of the live things that are going on here in Tribble. Midnight, did you want to summarize those, or?
As well as the new ESD that got released today, a few days ago, we got some other new stuff added to Tribble. The first is the Undine PvEQ missions. I haven't had a chance to play those yet. So far, when I've been on Tribble, I've just been waiting in the queue. So hopefully I'll get a chance to have a play with that soon. I'm not sure if anybody else here has had a chance to play. The other is the kit revamp that Gecko has been talking about for ages, has actually been added as well. So you now have a new kit which has modules, and you can put in different types of modules and kits which have different bonuses and setups, and you can even put these things on the exchange. So when you put a kit on there, it can either be with no modules or it can be full of modules and all sorts of other things. I think that's going to be quite difficult to sort of find what you're looking for with the current state of the exchange. I think we're going to need a much better sort of searching facility and UI to sort of really use that, I think. But although I've only had a quick chance to have a play, it so far looks good. But yeah, I was just going to the console on, I think it's K7, opposite the bank slots. Yeah, I've just sort of grabbed a load of kits and modules just to sort of have a look at them. And yeah, I can see myself spending a lot of time trying to get the correct setups.
Now, are these like, I'm going to say this, and well, I guess the easiest way to do this is this like a, like Diablo, where it's like you have the item and then each of the modules are like gems or runes or whatever that slot?
Each of the modules are one of the sets of power. So one could be sort of a quantum mortar, for example, that you slot. If I actually switch character...
I want a quantum mortar. As a tactical, I want a quantum mortar. I also want orbital bombardment.
Well, that's part of the... Because you've still got certain things which are for tactical and engineers and things like that. but it gives you more choice on how you can set them up. And there's also different configurations as well. So I'm just going to sign in and I can sort of put it on the live stream for anyone who watches it on there, so they can actually have a look what's going on. But yeah, there's different setups. You've either got, you have got the kits which have, for the engineers anyway, mechanical module slots and fabrication module slots. So the setups are either three of one and one of the other, or two and two. And you can slot those modules in. So if I switch the screen back over to Stone, as you can see, I've sort of filled my inventory up. Now, what will happen, as you can see, at the moment, my character has just got the standard kit showing here. So the kits that we already have look like they're just going to stay as they are. Now, if you hover over the kit, you'll see that I've got the Seeker drone, the quantum mortar fabrication, the medical generator, and the turret fabrication for that particular kit. But what I can now do is here in my inventory is I've got all sorts of different engineering kits which have different abilities. So some examples are weapon. So you get plus 20.6 weapon proficiency with this module, and this particular one has got three mechanical module slots and one fabrication. So you can just switch things around with all the different abilities. So if I say load this one up, you'll now notice on the UI you've got two different types of icons. One is to show that you've got three mechanical modules, which match up to the icons that are on each of the modules in my inventory here. And they're a slightly different colour as well. So you'll find that the fabrication icons are slightly darker in the yellow than what you've got with the mechanical modules here. And all you do, like with anything else, you literally just slot them up there. So you just choose which ones you want, and that's your kit. And if you remove this kit, literally, unlike with your loadouts, all of this stuff will not go into your inventory. It stays with that kit. So if I now switch back to my old kit, and I actually now have a look here, the description now shows that I've got the fuse armor, weapons malfunction, the chronoton mine barrier, and the shield generator fabrication, which were the four modules that I actually slotted in there. Whereas if I now hover over the kit next to it, you'll notice that it's just got the very basic one that says you have three modules and one slot, and this one's a shield edition, so you've got plus 20.6 personal shield generator on it. So I could then put on the exchange either this one with no modules or this one with four, or if I've just loaded one in, and sell those depending on sort of how I want to configure them.
That's going to get really tricky exchange side, but I can definitely see how that's going to help Taylor play a lot.
Especially for PvP. It gives a lot more possibilities on what people can do. And the fact that as soon as you're out of red alert, you could then swap these kits as well. It gives playstyle so many more options.
I could also see like a... I know that when I keep forgetting the name of the mission. It's the ground mission where you rush in and you save the diplomats and you kill off the
monkey.
Yeah, you kill off the Mogato thing. Y'all know
Colony Invasion.
Colony Invasion. That's it. I know that in Colony Invasion, my standard loadout. I'm the stealth runner. So I usually will kick my operative kit, stealth to the diplomats, save all the diplomats, get around and the injured people. And then once I'm on the back end of the mission, I'll stealth my way over to the Mogato area, where I'll change kits to squad leader or fire team. I forget which one. But I'll usually switch over to that one. Because I no longer need the stealth and all the ninja sneaky abilities. Now I need my gun abilities. So I could definitely see being able, and there's some abilities that I just don't use because there's a point, at least I've experienced this. Maybe I need to run more elites or something. But I mean, there hits a point where it's really not that important whether or not you use target optics, you know. Especially in a PvE context, it's good to know that here with this new system, if I want to switch out my target, if I want to have a kit where I don't have target optics at all, but I can focus on grenades and gunfire, then I can definitely do that, and it's not gonna impede me, and it'll in fact speed up how ruthless I can be when I play this game. So,
you've also got as well as the different. Types of kits where you've got, as usual, common, uncommon, rare, and very rare for the kits. Don't know if people will be able to see, but for each of the actual modules themselves, each of them have their own common types as well. So you've got common, uncommon, rare, and very rare for each of them. Now, at the moment, I'm only able to get... if I go to the console, I can actually get one of a lower class. I think we should be able to mix and match them. This out while I'm here.
You know, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at this system, and I'm like, all of this, and I can't get the iMod from Star Trek Elite Force. And that makes me sad. Do y'all remember that game?
I didn't play that one.
Yeah, it was the first person shooter they did, and the iMod, it was the gun you got all the way at the end of the game. It literally rotated on an infinite modulation, so the Borg could never adapt to it. Now granted, I've got the 3-second modulator, but the never need to modulate, that would be awesome.
Okay, well, a special item console is, since today's patch probably isn't actually given out these consoles, so I can't actually test getting some lower ones. I would assume that you would be able to, even if you've actually got a sort of an uncommon kit, you'd probably be able to put rare or very rare into one of the modules. Sort of thing, them sort of mix and match them. So yeah, even how powerful each of these modules are can vary, as well as each of the different kits. So yeah, the amount of possibilities you've got, so much more than what we've ever had.
So have y'all taken the opportunity to shoot the dev that's down here?
No. I was too busy looking at all the different consoles.
Yeah. Equa, E-Q-A-H. He's been around here flagging up for PvP, and we've kind of been running around gunning him down. Just because it's a thing to do. But obviously the developers are here in the test server watching things go on. So that's kind of cool.
The other thing that has been added is video settings.
There he goes. So
if I go to options, where we used to have on here just a video tab, they've split it down. So we've now got a display tab. So that's got which sort of DirectX that you use, sort of full screen refresh rate, aspect ratio, that sort of basic stuff. But whereas you used to have this advanced bit underneath, which just had this huge list, that's now changed. So we now have a tab for graphics, and you can now change the render quality for the video card as well as the graphics detail for the CPU. So you can sort of move them across, and it's all just been nicely tidied up as well. And then you've got an advanced tab, which then controls things like the bloom and things like that. So it hopefully makes sort of changing your graphic settings a little bit easier to see rather than just one huge list, which is what you had to scroll down beforehand. So yeah, that's the other change that has come through.
Yep. So all told, and this is my official quote-unquote review, like, I am very, very jazzed about the changes that are happening Fed side particularly, but just in, you know, the one thing that I really like, and I'm just going to mention this here, is that if you look at the effort that's going into particularly mission design that's coming, I mean, obviously Foundry is Foundry. You can only work with so much that, you know, that you're given. But if you look at the mission design that, that Perfect World's coming out with, that STO is coming out with, you know, you're definitely seeing, I hate to say it, it's just, it feels like they're trying harder now. So, and I like that. I also like the fact that they're rewarding you for non-standard play. I mean, obviously, anybody can jump in an escort and blast the hell out of things. Anybody can hop in the crazy huge scimitar of Doom and go fight things. But rewarding people for escort play, or for science vessel play and things like that, I think that's really cool. So it'll definitely be interesting to see where we go forward. Maybe these are questions we can send out to the community manager and be like, hey, look, you know, what kind of goodies are we expecting coming up? So we're running a little over at this point, but we started a little late.
Pretty much on time now.
Right. So what we're going to do here is we're going to wrap for today, and we will definitely catch you. Here's the deal. We want to catch you live on this Friday. I know we're gonna do our best to get this posted up in time so that people can listen to this. And if you can't make it Friday, that's cool. Most of our episode next week is going to be the interview, but don't let that stop. And it's going to be pre-recorded, so unfortunately, it's not really going to be any question and answer, any live Q&A. So what I'm going to say is this. If you have a question that you want us to ask Captain Smirk, and you don't want to ask him yourself, send it to us on Tribbles, on the Tribbles Twitter page. I was stopping to make sure I got that right. Tribbles Twitter page. So Tribbles NXTC. Ask us the question. We will ask Trevor, Captain Smirk, when he gets here, and we will get you that answer, provided it's, of course, within his purview to answer, obviously. So get us that question, set us that so we can put those questions up to you. If you feel more comfortable private messaging us with it, then private message us with it. If you have a recommendation for a Foundry mission, definitely let us know, because obviously this coming up weekend is going to be a Foundry thing. So definitely, you know, we want to review stuff that's being reviewed, or that we want you to play stuff that's really good. So we want to review those things and tell you whether or not you should do them. So, or we should tell them where we think you should do them. Either way. So, all of that said, thank you very much for bearing with us as we deal with audio issues and video issues and new things going on in the USS Tribbles manifest. We're working on saving up the Zen for the refit version, or the retrofit, the big one, or, you know, the fleet version if we can get up the marks for it. So definitely keep chugging forward. We will see you next weekend. Try to be here for the live show, because even though most of our show isn't going to be live, a lot of the information is going to be pertinent and relevant. So stick with us, and we will see you next week.
Take care, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to tonight's broadcast of Tribbles in Ecstasy, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and be sure to check holosuitemedia.com and iTunes for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Tribbles in XTC. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to thetribblesinecstasy@gmail.com. The only place where Tribbles and Klingons are friends.
Boldly go where no one has gone before. Star Trek Online.